So our first scripture for today comes from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. Hear now these words. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Our second scripture comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. This is Paul's instructions. Conduct yourself wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you all please pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, we are in our sermon series on stewardship, and last week we talked about how being in a community helps to strengthen our faith walk. As the children taught us, borrowing language from the video game and workout world, we want to level up our faith. Just as singing in the choir beside a very strong singer helps all of us to sing with more confidence, so too does being in community with people who have gifts and prayer, Bible reading, worship, faith sharing, generosity, and service to others. We are inspired by their gifts and learn from them as we commit to take a new step or to level up in a small way in our faith journey. A scripture that describes this so well comes from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's by being around others who excel in areas of their faith that we too are inspired to take the next step or level up. So today we're looking at worship and faith sharing. As I was praying over these topics this week, God kept putting articles and things about joy in front of me. Now, the Greek word for joy is chara, and it can be defined as delight and gladness. This chara, or joy, is a natural reaction to God's work. When we have just an inkling of how much God loves us and all the work God does in the world, we are moved to show gratitude, and we do so in gratitude and joy. And joy is also one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that we aspire to as Christians. To have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, you might notice that joy doesn't always have to do with happiness. Instead, it's a response to the work of God. Some of the most joy-filled people I've ever met have had some of the hardest experiences in their lives. Their joy isn't linked to an easy life. Instead, it's linked to their gratitude for God. It's out of gratitude that they exude joy, and a pure joy. And the more I thought about worship and faith sharing, the more I thought about joy this week. And think about it. The people who are most successful in an authentic way in sharing their faith do so with joy, right? We want a part of their joy. If someone tells you about their faith and they do so with a scowl on their face, are you excited? Probably not. But the person who tells you about how God showed up that week with joy in their eyes, you want to listen to. You want to hear more about their joy. And because of their joy, they draw others to them, and they're able to authentically share about God. And the same is true in worship. Others can see the joy that they have as they worship God. Often they worship with abandon. They aren't worried about impressing others or what others think about how they worship. Instead, it's solely focused on gratitude to God. I found a Christianity Today article that reported that the scientific research has shown that Christians who experienced and expressed gratitude to God reported feeling more hope, higher satisfaction, more optimism, and greater stress recovery. Studies suggest that gratitude to God magnifies and amplifies the effects of gratitude toward others. This research was entitled The Science of Giving Back to God and goes on to say this. Research ratifies this. A study by Joshua Wilt and Julie Exline at Case Western Reserve University found that among theist or God believers, gratitude to God for negative events functions similarly to gratitude for positive events, and that both drew one closer to God. Such findings suggest that when facing difficult life situations, the practice of gratitude to God can be cultivated to counter the natural tendency of prioritizing bad over good. This reframing is not merely a veneer of positive thinking, but instead a deep and abiding sense that goodness dwells under the rancor and heartache of daily life. Yesterday, Anne and I traveled up to Richmond to attend the women's retreat, and Diana Butler Bass was there in person, and we got to hear about her work around gratitude, and she shared some similar research. Researchers have found that people who adopted embracing gratitude in their lives cope much better with the hard things of this world. And friends, it seems like every week things get harder, do they not, in our world? The research found that the people that had gratitude as a regular practice in their life had better health after September 11th than those who did not. She defined gratitude for us as anticipation of a future you cannot see. So that is what gratitude is an anticipation of a future you cannot see. And friends, life is hard. And it seems like every day I open my news app, it gets harder. It feels like the last three and a half years were especially hard during the pandemic. A global pandemic reordered our lives. Parents had to constantly pivot and are still pivoting. Many marriages have suffered. Many families are still at odds with each other over various things like vaccines, politics, social issues, and many, many other things. For many of us, anxiety has gone through the roof and has yet to come back down to pre-2019 levels, right? I would give for 2019 levels of stress, right? It feels like we're constantly on edge, waiting for the next shoe to drop. Where will the next tragedy strike in the world and in our own lives? I'm sure like me, your eyes have been peeled at the war happening right now in Israel and Gaza and now Syria. I admit I'd totally forgotten about an earthquake in Afghanistan that also happened last week and other tragedies, right? What's fascinating, though, about this research in gratitude is in the midst of difficult life situations, we can help reframe our way of thinking when we practice gratitude. When we practice gratitude, our thought and feelings come around. Even when initially all we can think about is the bad, and if we think about the bad, there is a ton of bad. But when we practice gratitude, we can also see some good. A few years ago, I was helping to lead a centering prayer group that's part of our church with the idea that came up with this idea, or it was shared, I'm sorry, of a gratitude train or a gratitude parade. I think it was actually parade, but in my head, it's been train. So whichever image works for you. But the idea is to visualize whenever you need to meditate, or for me, when I wake up in the middle of the night and can't sleep, kind of images of what you're grateful for. And they kind of go in front of you like a parade or a train. And so you think about all the things you are grateful for. And I have found that when I really focus on that, I can go back to sleep, which is a win in my world. Now, of course, some nights it works better than others. And often I start with the basics. God, thank you for waking me up. Well, maybe not in the middle of the night, but waking me up the day before. Thank you, God, that I'm still alive. Thank you for a roof over my head, for food in my belly, for a wonderful life, for family, even the passionate family that sometimes disagrees with one another around Thanksgiving dinner, right? Thank you, God, for family. Thank you, God, for my community and my church. Thank you, God. And I have images. Those images go before me like a train or a parade. So next faithful step in our worship and faith sharing could be gratitude, a gratitude that leads to joy. That passage from Psalm reminds us to sing for joy to the Lord, shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. We forget that these psalms have been used all throughout the ages, through incredibly hard times, through wars, through famine, through exile, through many natural disasters. And yet these events have not stopped God's people from singing God's praises, from coming before God with thanksgiving and joy. We worship a wonderful, a great God, a God full of grace, compassion, and mercy. And that joy is important as well in our faith sharing. Paul has words to the Colossian community as he's encouraging them as they share their faith with others. He encourages them to be wise in the ways that you act towards outsiders or people who are not yet a part of the faith. Paul does not say, though, by the way, let me be real clear, does not say you should twist their arms or use persuasion. You know, you should not beat people with the Bible. Paul makes that really clear. Instead, Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be filled with grace. And Paul is talking here about evangelism, faith sharing through love, not through condemnation. Many of us learn best through actions, right? We see the faith of others and how they treat us, how they treat coworkers, neighbors, others in the world. And that's often the best way that we share our faith, how we live our lives and how we treat others. Now, of course, we are all human. We all make mistakes. And some of the people I most respect for their faith are the ones who are willing to admit when they have made a mistake. They model their faith through repentance and through seeking amends. And they forgive others as well when they have been wronged. I want to tell you a little bit about Dee. So Dee is a part of my former church and is a woman who is filled with joy and a woman that other women and other men as well look up to and for her faith journey. She exudes joy and she's always praying and encouraging others. And she's genuine and trusting. People trust her because they know she's not going to gossip. She'll pray about it, but she's not going to share it outside of the two of you and God. So one time she shared with us in our prayer group about a time that she was talking to her daughters, who are now young adults, and was talking to them about what was one of the most memorable things that they remember about their childhood. And with a very short pause, one of her daughters said, "I remember the time you apologized to me." Now, I think neither one remembers what she'd done wrong, but the daughter remembered when her mother came to her and said she was sorry about something she did. She modeled her faith, she modeled forgiveness, she modeled asking for forgiveness as well, to see the impact of that humble act on her daughter. And now, as she has children, the act that she will carry on. The joy and authenticity are part of faith sharing. Others want to hear and see how God has been active in your lives. And we should trust the Holy Spirit to give us the right words and to ensure that every conversation is filled with grace. For some people, they need to hear about the struggles with our own journey. They need to hear that it's okay to have doubts and to wrestle with God, that God can handle the wrestling and the doubts. For others, they need to hear that despite all the tragedies that you've experienced in your life, you know God is good and God is with you. And they need to hear your rawness and your faith. And the Holy Spirit will let you know what that person needs to hear. The pastor of my home church, who was there for 13 years when I was a kid and youth, used to love to say this: people don't want to hear what you have to say until they know that you care. People don't want to hear what you have to say until they know that you care. This is a beautiful way to approach faith sharing. We don't see people as a means to an end. Instead, they are people, and we want to get to know them for who they are. We want to hear their beautiful stories. We want to get to know them on a deeper level because they matter to God and they matter to us. Then, as we're getting to know them, that's when we share our stories. We share our faith. That's when we weave in stories about how God has been active in our lives, and we share the joy that we have in Jesus. So as you think about leveling up your faith sharing, who do you admire? Who has the ability to share their faith with others and can help you level up like iron sharpens iron? Maybe invite that person for a walk when it's not raining, or out for coffee or lunch, just to hear about what inspires them, what made them into the person they are today, and can help you as you level up your faith sharing. And then think about, who do you genuinely care about? Who maybe they have a lot of struggles right now in their life, and you want to make sure that they know that you are praying for them and that God is there with them. And then you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, guide your words. What does that person need to hear? And first, does that person know that you care about them? Because they're not going to hear what you have to say until they know that you care. As people in our community are feeling more and more isolated, we have this wonderful gift to share with others. We can experience the peace that passes all understanding, that comes from knowing God, and we want others in our community to experience it too. It's not our gift for us to keep. Instead, it was always God's gift for us to share with the world, an abundant gift that never runs out. So how can we share that gift with others? Well, friends, I'm excited to invite up Kathy Hershey. She is a person who exudes pure joy to me. So I asked her to come and share a little bit about how she does it, how she's Kathy, who exudes so much joy and has so much joy and gratitude for God.
Okay. She's a hard act to follow. She knows how to do this thing. But I feel like I'm coming up here. I feel like, you know that song, Joy and Pain, Sunshine. I feel like you should have been playing that for me or something, Evan. I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, okay. Choose joy over pain. Sunshine over rain. Choose joy. So we see this all the time, right? It's not a one-time decision. We can say it in our lives all the time. And, oh, okay, I'm going to wake up and be happy all day. This is not La La Land. You know, things are going to happen. This is Earth, so there's circumstances that are going to happen. But you can step back when you're in those moments and decide, when is it going to be appropriate for me to be able to choose joy again? And my husband, he's awesome. He's like the prayer warrior of the century, if you haven't noticed. But he chooses joy, and he chooses to pray for me in those moments that he gets to see where I'm not exuding joy. And they exist. So what I'm encouraging you to do is choose joy again. So, like, it can be 5 minutes from now. Like, maybe you're feeling something that feels overwhelming. And I'm about to share something with you. That part of my testimony is I struggle sometimes choosing to give myself permission to have joy when there's other circumstances going on around me that I feel like I should be lamenting over it, or, you know, feeling in some way guilty or something like that. And I've been estranged from my daughter since January to I don't even know why. I don't know why. So it's painful. And I try to restore myself. I remember that God has given me so many blessings. My husband, so many great things have happened to me this year. I wanted my daughter and my grandchildren, everything, to be part of this whole dream. And for some reason, she's isolating. It hurts. It hurts. And so you have to continue to restore yourself. You have to remember that God is good. He is still going to give you great things, and you are allowed to feel joy in those things, even when the other circumstances around you seem to be going sour, and you're like, God, when is this going to end? You know? I just want this one piece back. What if it never comes back? Do you choose not to have joy in your life because of other circumstances? No. You have to carry on. God wants us to. He wants us to have joy because we should be thankful. We should have gratitude for what he's giving us. And he put us here to enjoy what he created for us on this earth. So pray, choose joy again over and over. Do goofy things like get up here and do your little dance or whatever you want to do. Wear your little sparkly in your hair. Some people don't understand this. I like it. This is how I express my joy. So what? It's a little sparkly thing. Whatever. Enjoy it, right? Okay. Well, I wanted just to say to you guys, if you're feeling overwhelmed or something, you can walk out of here and choose joy again. And God wants you to, because he loves you. That's why he brought you here, to enjoy it before you get back there. Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much, Kathy. That was just beautiful. It is a choice, is it not? Well, friends, as we move into our prayer time in just a moment, we're going to pray together our breakthrough prayer. Then I'll say a prayer for us, and we'll conclude our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer. Today's breakthrough is that I am just so overwhelmed with gratitude for each one of you. When I look out, I think of all the ways that you all help and are part of the body of Christ that is this church. 1 Corinthians 12 says it so well, right? We are all different parts, from those of you who count, those of you who serve on leadership, those of you who give of yourselves on Wednesdays, on Sundays, on other days. You all are a vital part. So thank you. Thank you for those who help lead worship. Thank you for those who help in the back. Thank you for those who greet, those who count. There's so many things that I'm forgetting them, but God, I am just so grateful. Thank you all for all that you do to help make this church what it is and a beacon of light to this community. We could not do it without every single one of you. So truly, thank you. So I'm going to give you a hand. You don't need to give yourself a hand, but I'm giving you a hand. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Will you pray with me our breakthrough prayer? God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, help us this day to choose joy. Help us to be grateful. Help it to start small, grateful that you got us here safely without an accident, grateful that we don't melt in the rain, grateful that you woke us up this morning, grateful that we could gather together today. God, help us. Every day, the news will send us in the opposite direction. As we get a little depressed, learning more and more about violence and war and destruction in our own communities and over all over the world. But God, we have so much to be grateful for as well. So help us to do both, to educate ourselves on what's going on in the world and to choose joy each and every day. And God, we lift up what is going on all over the world. We lift up the people in Afghanistan who continue to recover from the earthquakes a little over a week ago. God, we lift up the people of Maui who continue to rebuild after the fire, and so many other places in the world that I have forgotten, but you, God, have not. Those who continue to recover from hurricanes this year and in years past. And God, we especially lift up today the people of Israel and the Palestinian people as well. God, it breaks our hearts, the violence that erupted last Saturday night, the terrorist attack on them, as many have described it as their September 11th. God, I was thinking this week about how much our hearts broke after our September 11th and how much their hearts are breaking. And God, we just pray for an end to the violence, and we pray for your peace to truly reign. And God, we lift up global leaders as they seek to make wise decisions. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of the leaders. Help them to make those wise decisions that are looking out for all humanity. And God, help that peace to begin with us. Help that joy to begin with us as well. And God, help us to continue to educate ourselves and also to know when to take a break because it's too much. God, we just lift up one another. We lift up families who are estranged. We lift up families who continue to fight over all the barriers that we as people create. God, send your peace in our own families. Send resolution. And God, now we boldly pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.